ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
So we've been talking about the Bears. We just started. You want to jump on in? 312-332-3776. Brian Hanley, Fred Huebner here till 11. Then it is Chicago's College Tailgate here on ESPN 1000 with Chris Black, Adam Abdallah. Brian, I don't know if you heard this, but this was just a couple days ago when Matt Nagy was asked about what exactly is your commitment to the run game?
The commitment is for David, right? Again, within the flow of the game, we understand that David, for us, and every offense, like when you can get that run game going, it opens up the play action, it opens up the screens, it protects the lineman from dropping back 50 times a game. So our goal is to be able to get him going. How we do it, that'll be to be seen, you know. But we by no means feel like that we have to go into this thing throwing a million times or anything like that. We know how important he is to us and our running game in general. You know, I think our running backs have done a great job in training camp. They understand where we're at. And now it's just a matter of us schematically figuring out what's the best way to be able to get, I think, like chunk runs. You know, try to stay away from those 1 to 2 yard runs and get more of those 4 to 5 to 6 yard runs and then pop a few too.
I think you guys have been for you. They're watching David Montgomery.
And awesome. Really great. I mean, you guys have heard me say it. I'm very close with him. We talk all the time, not just here in the building, but when we're outside of the building. And he knows the trust I have in him, and I know the trust he has in me. So now it's just a matter of all of us doing it together.
I'm sorry. I'm still laughing from when he said we're going to try and stop getting those 1 and 2 yard runs and try to get 4 or 5 or 6 yard runs and break a few.
Pop a few.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah, well,
I would hope so.
A guy who averaged 5.2 yards per carry and almost 600 yards in the last six games of the season. You have that guy there.
You do.
So applaud Matt Nagy. He said exactly what you want to hear. Now back it up. Go out and do it.
Yeah.
Because Bear fan Bob's right. It's like I've always said, you know, these offensive guru guys, it's like you don't get credit for a running game that can get 150 yards a game or 23 carries or whatever it is. And it's like a short pass is you get more credit on your resume than a successful chunk run. So you got a guy who's proven he can do it. Go out and back up those words. It's a very simple, go out and do it from game one, especially against that Rams defense, right?
Yeah.
You know, you prove it from the first quarter on that you're committed to that run game. It might be boring and whatever, but it does open up the playbook for other things to happen. So, you know, he said all the right things. He always says the right things. You know, I'm not stupid. I know we have to run the ball more.
Right. But
then he doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't and he hasn't. And I just want to see David Montgomery get the opportunity because you see he is a guy that can break tackles. He is a guy that can get past the first two guys, you know, and sometimes bust through them and then still go for more. We've seen that when he's given the opportunity. And, you know, I know he likes David Montgomery. We all like David Montgomery. We'd like to like him more.
Do they go bowling together? That's my question.
I don't know if he's is Montgomery one of the bowlers? Because I know that Fields is.
Yeah, I saw he was on, it was on like the Bears Instagram the other day.
Okay,
him and I think
Fields is one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Fields is a really good bowler, they said. So.
Well, I think it was the Tribune or Sun-Times had a story about that's David Montgomery, you know, whenever he needs to just relax and kind of get away from things, he goes bowling.
Yeah.
You know, and I look, and speaking of Instagram, I love that Justin Fields posted this week that, you know, why is the Bears always, you know, they've always been the big defense team and all this, you know, monsters of the Midway. Why can't we be a running team? And, you know, in this NFL, why are a scoring team? Why can't we be an offensive team? You know, to start building a new tradition, Dallas Green.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't we be the offensive Bears? And, you know, I love that mindset.
Yeah,
me too. And by the way, with this defense I've seen so far, and it's, you know, they have the oldest team by the average 27 years of age across the board, right? The Bears do.
Yeah.
And what, 4, 5, 6 guys are 30 or over 30 on the defense. The Sean Desai defense didn't exactly give me a lot of confidence, preseason or not.
No. And you saw, and I know it was a preseason game, but you saw what the Buffalo Bills scheming for what Mitchell Trubisky was able to do. And that's why I'm so concerned about the cornerbacks. I've been talking about it for 3 or 4 weeks. At Jalen, you got 2 second-year cornerbacks in Kendall Vildor and also Jalen Johnson. And then your nickelback is probably going to be Duke Shelley. And, you know, everybody says, well, we lost the guy from last year. That was okay. I heard Waddle say it the other day. That's no great loss. You know, Buster Screen was gone, and that's okay. It wasn't like he was a real good nickel corner. But the Bears, the teams are going to be able to throw on the Bears, you would think, if those guys in the front don't get to the quarterback. 312-332-3776. A guy that used to play for the Bears had some comments about Justin Fields. We'll talk about that in a second. First, let's go to Englewood and Boston. Boston, you're on ESPN 1000. What's happening?
What's going on, man? Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well.
All right. Just a few things, if I may. I just think that whenever they predict the Bears, because they're predicting the Bears to do bad, you know, some spectators and what have you. But I think when the Bears are predicted to do bad, they do good. And I just think that they have a few weapons that they need to utilize this year opposed to last year. They have another running back to support Montgomery. They have another receiver. They the kid Adams, who they drafted, and he shocked everybody in preseason. They added him to the squad as well. So they have quite a few weapons to utilize this year. Plus, Andy Dalton is more experienced than Mitch Trubisky was. So if that doesn't work out, then we have Justin Fields, which is the future. So all I'm saying is that they have a few weapons more than what they had last year. So I think they're going to surprise everybody, and I'm predicting them to actually win a division. Health. Because health is the key to any team's success, is being healthy. But I think they have a good chance to actually win a division. And it's not about right now. It's about the future. But the future actually starts right now, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yep, so. I do. Boston, I'm glad you're confident. Sounds good. And very looking forward to the season. And he's everything Boston said could happen. They could use the weapons they have in Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney, and they could actually throw to Cole Kmet and Jesse James and Jimmy Graham in the, you know, in the red zone, and things could work out. But we have to wait and see if that's going to happen. So we're just speculating.
We're back in Jeff Passan territory.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Well, it could. Right. Anything could happen with this team. That's why it's so difficult. And we've been doing it for, what, since training camp started.
I mean, there's one team in the division that would worry you, and rightfully so, because some people are actually picking the Packers to be in the Super Bowl game with the soap opera or not going on up north. But, you know, Dan Campbell's, you know, good humor to watch his press conferences. That's fun.
Right.
You know, because he's kind of a meathead in Detroit. That's if it's going to get, it won't be anytime soon. And Minnesota's kind of a mess, and they're rebuilding their offensive line and you know, cornerbacks and secondary and everything else. So it's, you got to get past the Green Bay Packers. A lot has to go right for you to win that division. Right now, I think if you got a wild card and not the COVID back in wild card like last year,
right?
You would take that, right?
Yeah.
And most the smart money in Vegas says you're not going to. They're betting under 7.5 wins in a 17-game season.
Yeah.
Right.
Uh huh.
The Bears are not popular on 8 or more wins in Vegas. Everyone's pounding the under there because the schedule is very tough on top of everything.
It is. It is a very tough schedule, and they're playing. You know, and the only team that really scares me in their division is the Packers.
Right.
And, you know, scares me is probably the wrong word. But the only team I think they'll struggle with is them. I think they can beat the Vikings. I think they can beat Detroit. I don't care Detroit's quarterback is. You know, Detroit still – people say, don't you think the Lions are going to come on? I said, I never think the Lions are going to come on. But even, you know, once they hit, hold on a second. I got the schedule behind me. I'm going to take it off the wall. Okay.
Yeah.
So once the first four, the Rams, Bengals, Cleveland, and then the Lions. Then after that, they go to Vegas. They play the Packers at home. They go to Tampa. Then play the Niners. Those four games are not going to be easy. And I know Vegas, you know, and it's not like the Raiders are one of the top teams in the AFC, but they can actually,
They're playing at home.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing at home. Yeah. And then going down to see Tampa, that's going to be difficult. Then you got Pittsburgh in a bye week, then the Ravens. Then the second half of the season, you play the Cardinals. You're at the Packers. You're at Seattle. It's not going to be easy. Your last two games of the year could actually help you get over the top with the Giants, hosting the Giants, and then at Minnesota. Plus, who knows what Seattle's going to be. Every year you think Seattle's going to fall off, and then they don't. And Russell Wilson has them back. But that's, Seattle's going to be battling because that division's going to be really tough. The NFC West is crazy with the Rams, the Niners, Seattle,
right,
and also Arizona trying to improve.
But so, I mean, for what it's worth, right now the Bears are only favored in 4 of the 17 games in Vegas. And I'll get, again, a lot of time between now and then, a lot of health issues and concerns with different teams. But that's how tough the schedule is, and that's how many questions the Bears have. And right to our Twitter poll about which concerns you the most, because you have not just the quarterback question, you have the offensive line, you have cornerbacks, you have still people wondering what we have here in Matt Nagy.
Right.
There's a lot of issues here. How's an aging defense going to do? And by the way, the NFL poll of NFL players, the top 100 players voted by peers. Did you see this last week?
I saw some of it. The only thing I did hear is that one guy in the Bears defense wasn't in the top 100 that people thought should.
Right. But Khalil Mack was the highest at 23rd. Only two made it. Khalil Mack on the defense at 23 out of the top 100 voted by NFL players. And Allen Robinson, for all the hand-wringing Allen likes to do about how much he's not getting paid.
Right.
His peers voted him 87.
Okay.
So he's the big fish in the Bears' small pond of offensive talent. But according to other NFL players, he's not all that. I mean, he looks the part here, but maybe he's a number three guy on a good team.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a possibility. The guy I was talking about a couple minutes ago, a lot of people have podcasts out there. Jay Cutler just started a podcast. He had Waddle and Sylvie on his first podcast.
Fred has one.
Huh?
You have one.
Yeah, I've got one. Yeah, talking about sports and beer and things like that. But they also have one, former Bear Jason McKee, who's actually a high school coach up north. He does one called the No Name Football Podcast. And I listened to it on the way down today. And Jason McKee had Olin Krutz on. Now, if you'd watched in the past, if you ever watched NBC Sports Chicago and some of their post-game stuff, I used to tape it because I would do a pre-game or I do post-game sometimes. I'm doing post-game this year with Howard Griffith.
Yeah, I used to do that too, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm doing the post-game with Howard Griffith, but because of White Sox baseball, we're not going to do, and hopefully the White Sox keep going and we'll see how that works out. But Olin Krutz is great breaking down, and he doesn't hold back. And he was talking about Justin Fields today, and I don't have the audio, but I listened to it on the way down here. And he was basically saying that watching Fields and watching him the way that he can watch him and watching him the way the offensive line, was playing when Fields was in and things, he said Fields really needs to learn how to read defenses. And everybody says, okay, well, that's a basic thing. He said, it's not just read it. He said people thought in some of the games that he was able to read the defense and throw a little nice little dump off pass and things like that. But Krutz said, looking at him, you could tell in his eyes he didn't see these things. His natural ability just allowed him to do it. He said in order for him with this offensive line, he really has to learn where blitzes are coming from. And his offensive linemen need to know where the blitzes are coming from. And while they're still getting put together, it might be a good thing for him still to go on and learn more. And also how to protect himself. He said it's real important for quarterbacks to know how to protect themselves when they're out there. He said you can see it. Like when Olin Krutz, anytime the center goes to the line, you see him pointing who's coming.
Whose responsibility. Yeah.
Exactly. And he said sometimes you don't see that yet. And it's expected because in college, they walk up to the line of scrimmage, whatever defense they're in, the defense is coming at you. But in the pros, they're going to shift. They're going to let you look at it while you're calling your signals. They're going to switch you around. And a lot of different things are going to change defenses. So I was listening to Olin Krutz, and after listening to him, I didn't have as much of a problem with with what the Bears' plan is of starting Andy Dalton, because they talked about how the offensive line with Afedi on one side and with Peters on the other.
Yeah,
still learning. James Daniels now in his third position in, 3 or 4 years with the Bears. So they've got to gel a little bit. And if you're going to have to gel with a guy that's a pocket passer in Andy Dalton, that's a good thing. The other thing he brought up is, he said, this is Olin Krutz talking, he said that what the Bears should do, they have all these quarterback coaches, all these offensive coaches that are quarterback guys, Bill Lazor and DeFilippo and all these guys that know how to coach quarterbacks. He said in the quarterback's room, they should have the assistant offensive line coach. So the assistant offensive line coach can help the quarterback know where guys are coming from. and all that kind of thing. He said back in the day, they would do that when he was there. The offensive line coach would come in and sit in with the quarterback's coach and things like that. He said it's a great idea to have done. And then he also said, well, plus I know a guy and he's really smart. But I don't think that's why he was doing it. It seems like it would make a lot of sense. Instead of, he said basically Nagy and Lazor and DeFilippo, they're looking at the quarterback position from the pocket. He said what they do need to do with Justin Fields is they have to learn how to expand it. He said Andy Reid was a, boy, what did he say? He said Andy Reid was an offensive line coach and then became, a you know, the play caller. And it makes it, it works better that way because you know more than just the quarterback role. You know the offensive line. So little points, but they sounded very interesting on the way in. Hopefully it made a lot of sense when I tried to explain it to you.
Well, look, I mean, Olin Kreutz would be a terrific coach, whether you want to be a line coach or a coordinator or a head coach. And he basically was a coach as a player. He owned that locker room, right? Yep. And Brian Urlacher had the defense in line, and he had the offensive line. And, you know, you did it his way or he didn't do it, all right?
Yep.
And so that's the respect he carries. And I know his coach in high school, but he's a great follow on Twitter, especially during Bears games, right?
Sure.
He's teaching about the game as you're watching it. So it all makes sense. But Mitch Trubisky never, I mean, through 4 years, that was the knock on Trubisky.
Right.
But he couldn't read defenses. He didn't know the offense well enough. I mean, Matt Nagy said, well, now it's 4 years in. We've got a bunch of guys who have been here 2 or 3 years. So now it should all click.
Yeah.
It should be that easy. I don't know that it's going to be that easy. And it shouldn't take 4 years. Most teams don't give you 4 years to have it all come together.
No, they don't.
And looking at it, it's not necessarily coming all together. It's still a work in progress.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Callers hanging there. We'll get right to you. Also, The Athletic ran a story earlier this week. Five NFL executives ranked the conferences, and you'll be interested or you may not be interested. But hopefully you'll be interested in what these NFL executives, how they rated the NFC 1 through 16. We'll talk about that. We come back. We'll get to your phone calls. We're here till 11 o'clock. Then it's Chicago's College Tailgate right here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Talking some Bears football. They get underway a week from tomorrow as the season starts on Thursday. Cowboys taking on Tampa. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Mount Greenwood and Gorman. Gorman, you're on with Fred and Brian Hanley. What's up?
Morning, gentlemen. I just want to touch on, Ryan Pace's ineptness. I was talking to your guy that answered the phone. You know, you got Trevathan. He's on the IR. Last year they opted to keep him over Nick Kwiatkowski. And I think, you know, in hindsight, obviously, it would have been a better move to keep Kwiatkowski. But it's just another one on the long list of, you know, Tevin Jenkins. Now he's out for the season because of his back, you know, Trubisky. It's just, I don't know how this guy keeps his job. I don't know what he has on the McCaskies. But, I just wanted to ask you about Kwiatkowski versus Trevathan and see what you guys had to say about it. And I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Gorman. Appreciate it. Yeah, he doesn't seem to make great decisions. And he didn't have any offensive linemen. The only guy he actually went out and got on the offensive side, he drafts Tevin Jenkins. And then and then he has to go out and find Jason Peters, the 39-year-old guy, okay? And Afedi was a guy that was here before. So they really didn't go on out and get anybody else. They did draft Larry Borum, a guy that's a possibility at the left tackle position. That's another possibility. And at that linebacker position that he's talking about, and I know a lot of guys like Kwiatkowski, and he also played pretty well last year with the Raiders, if I'm not mistaken. And but Ogletree, the guy they brought in, he was just coming to visit Robert Quinn.
Right.
I read the article earlier this week. He was coming to town with his wife just to visit Robert Quinn because he knows him. And he got there, and his agent said, don't leave. He said, the Bears want to look at you. And all of a sudden, he's got a job, and he's now going to be your starting linebacker along with Roquan Smith.
So either that's going to be a great story that we'll all celebrate, or it's like, you know, where are you finding these guys? Because did Robert Quinn vouch for him? Because right there, I'd have to stop the conversation. But
But I mean, understand. Look, I understand.
Yeah. And I get that Matt Nagy, you know, he was executive of the year, the same year that Matt Nagy was coach of the year, the same year that the Bears defense had 38 takeaways.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's been a while. Bears are 42-54 in six seasons under Ryan Pace. And two playoff defeats, and they what had all 9 points against New Orleans last year in a COVID manufactured wild card spot
right.
that they backed into, right?
Yep.
Most people don't get a seventh season in the NFL for that. And the old rule of thumb is if a team loses three, has a three game losing streak, someone's getting fired, right?
Uh huh.
Well, what was it, six last year?
Yep.
And no one got fired. And so, and they wouldn't answer about how long their contracts run, you know, to Ted and George wouldn't, you know, hazard a guess or, you know, volunteer any information or ask directly about that.
Sure.
So the good thing is they drafted Justin Fields and I mean, they did it, they got it. And I celebrated them for making the move. And it was Matt Nagy's production. He told them that's the guy we want. And they identified it and they got it done. And that's great. So now the clock doesn't start ticking on Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy until Justin Fields is on the field. That's how I see it, right?
Yeah. No, exactly.
How do you judge them with Andy Dalton? I mean, you don't. It's they got the franchise quarterback, so why would George and Ted look at it any differently until they see what they have in Justin Fields? So I feel the caller's pain and frustration, and the Bears are just a different – they're no longer the stingy team that doesn't spend money. You know, the reason they don't have cap room is they spend money. Now, do they spend it wisely? Not necessarily. But a GM that has a losing record and 0-2 in the playoffs in wild card games usually doesn't get a seventh season. But here we sit, and there he sits.
Yeah, there's no doubt. 312-332-3776. Okay, this article from The Athletic, Tyler found this yesterday. And five NFL executives put together, they went over the NFC, and they ranked the teams 1 through 16. And they have, you talked about the Bears schedule. They play the top five. Tampa, they had number one, Green Bay two, the Rams three, tied with Seattle, and San Francisco four or five because of the tie.
Right, the tie, yeah.
Yeah. And so you look for the Bears because there are 16 teams in the NFC. So
you start from the bottom?
If you start from the bottom, you find them quickly. Yeah. The bottom is Detroit. Then it's the New York Giants, who the Bears play both of them too, which is maybe a good thing. And then you get to the Bears at 14. That's where these five executives put. So here's what they had to say about it, okay? Bears 8-8 in the playoffs last year. The NFC is seventh and last seed. They replaced Mitch Trubisky with Andy Dalton. Yet no voter ranked them higher than 12th in the conference. Quote, why would everyone put, this guy says, why would everyone put Chicago so low? A coach who did not vote in the survey said someone probably spent a lot of time looking at the schedule, but I'd put them ahead of Minnesota, who I think is too high. I'd put them ahead of Dallas, the guy said. It's not going to be long for the kid, Fields, to play. They will be more explosive with him. I just think they are better than they're given credit for. I saw them twice in the preseason. They're running around, flying around pretty good. Again, this was a coach from another team who did not vote. Now, the Bears do play the NFL's toughest schedule of opposing quarterbacks when using the 2021 quarterback tiers results in as a guide. They play four games against Tier 1 quarterbacks, tied for the most in the league. They are the only team with zero games against Team 4 quarterbacks, so they don't play any of their own guys. The gap between Dalton's average vote and the average of Chicago's opponents is larger than the gap for any team in the league. Fields, while exciting, is unproven. And let's see here. Chicago absolutely should be this low, a voter said. You've got an unproven first-year defensive coordinator taking over for a couple of guys, Pagano last year and Fangio before, with a combined 50 years in the league. They subtracted Kyle Fuller, so there's a lot of uncertainty. On offense, everyone wants to talk about the quarterback, but without the back, Tariq Cohen, they are not explosive enough. All the quarterbacks there are going to find it tough sledding. Bears also have offensive line problems. One of the guys said, a voter said, I don't see Andy Dalton in that tier of guys that makes your team better. If that is where they're going to go, it'll be interesting. They could struggle at quarterback and on the offensive line, and that's a bad combination. And I think most Bears fans know, and that's their biggest concern. that they could struggle at both of those positions, especially the offensive line and the O-line helps the quarterback struggle. So in baseball, we always talk about how the White Sox don't get credit. Nobody cares about it. Well, the Bears, people are more than happy enough to talk about how the Bears, they don't expect them to be good, at least these voters in these executives.
Executives, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
And there was a similar story that I retweeted a couple weeks ago. It was, sports betting analysts, analyzing all the coaching staffs of all the teams in the league.
Sure.
And I retweeted and I said, I'll save you time, Bears fans, start at the bottom and scroll up, because they were 30th, right?
Yeah.
So, again, Coach of the Year, Matt Nagy, that's how some people view, the national people view him as a coach. They don't think much of him. I don't know that they're 12 to 14. I would guess somewhere around 10 in the conference.
Okay.
But that's not good enough. That's not good enough by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
I mean, so best case scenario, I mean, we had one caller said they can win the division. Well, they could, but the Packers have won it 7 of the last 10 years. And, barring Aaron Rodgers going down, I don't know why they wouldn't win it 8 out of 11.
Sure. Yeah. 312-332-3776. Your thoughts on the Bears, your concerns. Before we get out of here, we'll wrap up our poll questions. And also, what are your thoughts about the Bears as a possibility? I know Brian brought it up. We have it as one of our poll questions. But the Niners are thinking about using Garoppolo and Trey Lance and alternating them, not necessarily rotating them, one series after another series, but on down and distance. And this way, the quarterback can go right in. He knows the play. He's got it from the coach as he goes into the game. Back in the day, Dallas tried it with Craig Morton and, Craig Morton and Roger Staubach, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Way back in the day.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said, well, this doesn't work. You need a number one quarterback. Well, Kyle Shanahan with the Niners is going to try this, it seems. We'll see when the season gets underway. I think they open up against Detroit, which would probably be the perfect team to do it against. 312-332-3776. But would you like to see the Bears and Matt Nagy try it with Andy Dalton and Justin Fields? And if it is something you're going to try, shouldn't it have been done something you did in the preseason, or are you going to surprise everybody on Sunday night at SoFi Stadium next week? 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Bears get underway next week. College football today. Lots of college football. We've got Chicago's College Tailgate coming up at 11 o'clock. Black and Abdallah, they love the game. They will take you around college football all afternoon long. And don't forget, we also have White Sox Weekly today at 3:30. Leading you up to the pregame show at 5:30, and then White Sox baseball tonight. Ronaldo Lopez going for the Southsiders, who look to hit the ball and score some runs, which would always be a nice thing. Right, Brian? I mean, the one thing in sports, in all sports, you can't win if you don't score.
Usually how it goes. Yeah,
that's usually, in soccer you cannot score and get a point. I guess you could in hockey. No, you can't anymore in hockey. Someone's got to score, right?
Yeah.
In order to win. Yeah.
You get a point for going into overtime.
Yes, you do. And I was going to ask you, really quickly, let's take this call first. I wanted to ask you something, too, because there was some upheaval over at...
quietly.
With the Black... Very quietly.
Yeah.
Very quietly. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's go to Glenn Ellen and Dan. Dan, you're on ESPN 1000. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, real quick, from a strategy standpoint, you brought up Jason McKee, number 37.
Yeah.
He was, he was fun to watch. And I know Nagy and Pace, they defy all reason in strategy, but instead of carrying eight tight ends, why not add a fullback to the roster, supplemental run blocking protection, considering Tevin Jenkins and our offensive line issues?
Yeah, I'm looking at their, Dan, I'm looking at their depth chart, and you're right. They have there's no tight end even listed.
A fullback.
I'm sorry. Yeah, there's a lot of tight ends listed. They have five listed here only.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
They have five, and eventually I would think they'd get rid of one, but you can't get rid of Jesper Horsted now after he got three touchdowns in that last game.
No.
But Dan, I understand the fullback, because I thought the fullback was actually making a comeback a couple years ago.
Because it looked like the dinosaur position that everyone in the league decided you don't need them anymore.
Yeah, right?
Dan, it's all about throwing. And,
I know. Appreciate the call, Dan. Yeah, I don't quite understand it either. There, you know, most teams will have that big guy, the big running back. The one guy that's not on the team, I guess he's on the practice squad, that Ryan Nall. You know, he's the guy that usually ends up making the roster, the regular roster. But, yeah, no fullback. And I noticed that earlier this week when I printed out the, you know, and our lads, we get the guy from our lads on, Dan Shanka on before the draft and things like that. If you ever are looking for really good depth charts, plus depth charts that fit on one page and are really easy and printable, just go to ourlads.com, go to NFL depth charts, and they have college football depth charts too. And you just go and click on it. It's awesome. And it's just one page. It's got everything. It's got the reserves. It's got the practice squad, all the other things. And it's a good job. But you look at it, and David, the running backs, David Montgomery, Damian Williams, and Khalil Herbert. There's no, you know, there's no Tariq Cohen because we know that he's been hurt and slow to come back.
Well, how about that? I mean, Ryan Pace asked directly if he had a second surgery.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't answer the question, which, you know, Jason Lazor said, there's your answer.
Yeah.
You know, when they won't even say, no, he didn't, then the answer is, yes, he did. So what's his availability as you move forward? He's, you know, on the pup list, obviously. And,
right.
It just, you don't know. Again, and the season shouldn't hinge on Tariq Cohen's availability.
No.
But He's a weapon that should be, you know, that can be utilized. You know, it's just frustrating to take a look and like, how do you get to this point where the offensive line has to go get a 39-year-old guy who was fishing in Texas, and great, 9-time Pro Bowler, but you don't know what you're going to have here moving forward. I love his confidence and his talk and his, you know, want to and all that, but you don't know if the body's going to be there. And how do you get to the point where you have a second-year cornerback is the one guy you're really counting on, and beyond that, you're not even sure.
No, I know. And the amazing part, and you brought it up too, about you lose six games in a row, and you're, both guys are back, and the organization says they have confidence in them, and he's just, you know, were they watching the same thing we were watching?
And look, games within the games. When you're looking at a first half where you're lucky to get 3 points, you can't even score.
Yeah,
it's beyond me. I mean, in a league where every rule has been changed to allow scoring and increase scoring, and you're the one team with the offensive-minded head coach who can't score.
Right.
It's a disconnect beyond that. I mean, it just to be diplomatic about it, it's a disconnect. But how's that get better? I mean, it needs to get better. I don't know how it necessarily gets better.
Yeah, I don't either. 312-332-3776. This week, some of the news up at Hallis Hall was that they picked up Breshad Perriman. Okay, this is his seventh team. He was the 26th overall pick by Baltimore in 2015. He's never caught 40 balls in a season. His best year was with Tampa in 2019. He had 36 catches, 645 yards, 6 touchdowns. And now they're going to
seven teams in 5 seasons.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're going to be the ones who will figure it out.
Yeah, right? I know.
Okay.
Yeah, they bring in Artie Burns. They brought in. He was out last year with a torn ACL. He's one of the guys they're hoping can help them at the cornerback position, at the nickel corner position. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see a guy that's coming off injuries and things like that. Were you surprised or were you upset? Let me see if I can find it here real quickly. Okay, Ryan Pace was asked if Fields is further along than you thought he'd be.
No, honestly, he's really not. Like, we, you know, for us to move up and take him where we did, you know how we feel about him. So I think he's exactly what we thought he was going to be. He's exactly where we hoped he would be. So I don't think it changes our plan at all. Like, I know the fans are excited, and we're excited too.
Now, when you heard that, were you surprised that Pace said that, or did you? For me, I wasn't necessarily surprised because, you know, he probably went over these. I get a feeling that he has people fire questions at him before the press conference, so
he doesn't answer their questions either.
Yeah, he goes, and then they say, "But Ryan, you told us to ask you this. I'm not answering it."
I'm excited.
I'm very excited.
And I'm collaborating with you before I get excited in front of the real media.
Yeah. What were your thoughts when you heard that?
Well, it seems like there has been a slight shift in the plan, right?
It seems like it. Does it really seem like it, or is it just us and wishful thinking?
Well, it went from basically, here's what I heard, Justin Fields are not going to see the field all season if they have anything, you know, if everything goes according to the plan.
Gotcha.
Right?
Yep.
He's going to, this is a redshirt year. He's going to learn and everything's going to be great. And Andy Dalton's on a 1-year contract and off you go. And he's getting paid $10 million and he'll be better than Mike Glennon. And don't worry about it. We got it all handled. But then 2 weeks ago, Matt Nagy basically seemed to say, you know, that Justin Fields was ahead of schedule.
Right.
And then the most curious thing for Ed was when they said, well, all depends on Andy Dalton's play. Okay. that wasn't the narrative.
No.
A month ago.
No, it wasn't.
Right?
No.
The plan was, no matter, Justin Fields is going to need a full year to get up to speed. Olin Kreutz has basically said it on that podcast. And yep. that sounds good. It's fine. Whatever. But if you think you have a window here or a chance to win or to get a playoff spot and actually make some noise in the postseason, you know, good luck if you're following that plan. If Andy Dalton's not, if he is closer to Mike Glennon in the first 4 or 5 games. And again, the schedule is among, if not the toughest in the league. And not enough Bears fans, I think, are embracing that fact, right? The division's not very good beyond the Packers. Get it.
No, but the schedule is
it
very
is.
Difficult.
So it's, but there seems to be, if Andy Dalton isn't what they expect Andy Dalton to be, then they're open to the idea that Justin Fields could step in, I don't know, halfway through the season. But again, you might, if you have a losing record 6 games into the season, does it make sense to throw Justin Fields out there and make him feel like he has to be a savior? Or do you just say, you know what, let's stick to the plan and rather have him not be the guy who leads you to a 7-10 season?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. 312-332-3776. We'll take your calls. We'll recap our poll questions for the day, and we'll get you ready for the Chicago's College tailgate coming up at 11 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000. Northwestern football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football's back, and Coach Fitz and the 2020 Big Ten West Division champions return to Ryan Field. Well, they did return to Ryan Field this Friday, which was last night, against Michigan State. You can get tickets all season long for the Wildcats at NUSports.com.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Every time this song used to come on, it meant the show was over. And the show's almost over. Brian Handley, Fred Huebner. We're going to make way for Chicago's college tailgate in a couple of minutes. Brian, quietly, this was just yesterday, Hawks front office undergoes another shuffle. And this, I don't know, did anybody see this coming? Or because of the problems and the things that have gone on with former Blackhawks coaches and people, were you expecting this to happen?
No, I mean, Ben Pope, to his credit in the Sun-Times, wrote the story about Jay Blanc, who was John McDonough's right-hand man.
Yes.
Right? I mean, at the Cubs, and that when John jumped to the Blackhawks as president, Jay came over, and he's terrific, and he's terrific at what he does. He's just a really a pro's pro. He's executive vice president, so I guess, you know, the fact that they kept him around is normally if you're going to let John McDonough go, you're going to let his best, you know, his right-hand man go. Right?
Oh, because right.
They have like-minded ways and expectations, and they expect great things from their staff, and they demand it. I mean, they made their front office work. So he's let go. So is the head of marketing. So, you know, you don't know how much that really impacts anything. But obviously, James Gary, the mental skills coach who was involved – Bradley Aldrich sexual assault scandal, which,
right.
by the way, I don't hear many Hawks fans really talking about it.
No, not at all.
I don't know that really worries them. You know, they're much more interested in Jonathan Toews, whether he's going to be on the ice, and, you know, Andre Fleury in net, and what are they now, a legitimate playoff team, and what can they do? But meanwhile, the Blackhawks hired a law firm, I think Jenner and Block, or one of the big firms in the city, to do a so-called independent investigation to find out what exactly went on. And according to the lawsuits that have been filed, James Gary, the mental skills coach, was told by the unnamed player who said he was sexually assaulted by Bradley Aldrich, who was then the video coach, that it was his fault, that, you know, he was much to blame for going over to the guy's apartment, whatever. It's a sordid,
it's awful, sick it's an story. Awful story, yeah.
And then Aldrich goes on to volunteer at a Michigan high school where he is allegedly assaults or is arrested for assaulting an underage hockey player. And so that they're filing a lawsuit against the Blackhawks because, according to them, the Blackhawks gave a ringing endorsement to Aldrich being hired there, you know, basically sung his praises. Anyway, so the head of HR is now out, this Marie Sutera, who allegedly told police, yeah, according to the police report, that you'd have to get a search warrant if you want to know anything about his employment here with the Hawks.
Yeah.
You know, which surprised investigators. So they're going to sort this whole thing out. The one hockey hire that made sense, or I'm intrigued about, is this new manager of hockey strategy, Dominic Zrim,
who right.
founded CapFriendly.com. Is basically a numbers guy, a stats guy, you know, a guy who's going to look at players and situational hockey and their numbers and give the front office and the coaching staff more of a clear picture on what to expect from certain players in certain situations and be more of an analytics guy. So, you know, that could actually translate into a better hockey team if, you know, he is what they think he is, if he brings a different kind of angle and gives them a leg up on some of the competition, yeah, in terms of self-scouting, if you will.
They said they also got a new TV studio analyst, Colby Cohen. I mean, do we know who this person is?
No, God bless him. He filled in for Edzo a couple times.
Did he? Okay.
For my money, Steve Conrad and Jamal Maris were terrific.
Yeah, so they were great.
I didn't see the need. Maybe it's a cost-cutting thing. I don't know. That's the first thing I thought of. You know, they're saving money. So.
Yeah, and this is Pat Foley's final season.
Yep.
Yeah. So
a lot going on.
Yeah, there is. And it'll come up very quickly with hockey and basketball both.
Hockey show starts October 9th.
There you go.
I will be here for you right on ESPN 1000 Saturday mornings.
There you go. We got to get out of the way, so let's make sure we run down our two poll questions from today. The first one was, with the Rams opener a week away, which position is your biggest concern for the Bears? Cornerback, offensive line, quarterback, or head coach? How'd that play out, Tyler?
It was an overwhelming majority offensive line, 56.5% on that one. And then that's followed by head coach, narrowly passed cornerback, and then quarterback with about 7%.
It's funny. So it's almost like it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Everybody's more concerned about the offensive line.
I voted cornerback.
So did I. So did I.
Okay.
because I'm just looking at those tier one quarterbacks that are going to pick them apart in the secondary, and that bothers me a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah. The other one is the 49ers looking at making Jimmy G and Trey Lance co-quarterback ones, QB ones. Should the Bears use a similar rotation with Dalton and Fields? You could go yes, no, or only if Kyle Shanahan's coaching. How'd that one go?
No at 54% here, and then only if Shanahan is coached 25%, and yes at 21%.
It's funny.
I voted for Shanahan.
I think I voted yes. But the thing is funny because a lot of people want the Bears to get to the next level offensively, which you would think that would be, but the majority said no. So, I don't know.
And I'd love to know, is it just because it wouldn't work? Or if you have two, you don't have one?
Right.
Or you don't like Matt Nagy? Or, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd love to hear the Bears. Is there any segment of Bears fan nation out there that says, Andy Dalton's going to be just fine, thanks, and everything's going to be great, so just be patient?
I think we had one caller yesterday on the Waddle and Sylvie show who said, you know what, give Andy Dalton an opportunity. Let's see what happens. And I guess, ultimately, that's what we all have to do. Don't go anywhere. Chicago's College Tailgate coming up in a matter of moments. Brian, fun. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, take it easy. Brian Hanley, Fred Huebner, Chicago's College Tailgate coming up in moments here on ESPN 1000.